Welcome to the Pacifica National Board meeting of June 5th, 2014, meeting telephonically at various locations throughout the country. This evening we have a special order of business on the agenda to talk to the audit firm that handles the audits for Pacifica. I'm asking the secretary to take the roll.
Thank you. Janice Lane Ewart. Brian Edwards-Tiegert. Brian Edwards-Tiegert. Jose Luis.
Brian's here. Okay.
Thank you. Jose Luis Fuentes.
Present.
Janet Colburn.
Here.
Rodrigo Agueta. Lydia Brazon. Lydia, can't hear you. Kim Kaufman.
Here.
Lawrence Reyes.
Here.
Adriana Casadez. Adriana?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay, good. Gotcha. Thank you. Hank Lamb. George Ryder. Richard Uzel.
Here.
Carolyn Burton is not going to be with us today.
Janet. Absence for Carolyn.
Yes.
Okay, well, that has to be voted on.
What? It's all right. Please.
Janet Coleman.
Here.
Doreen Roberts is present. Manager Sabah.
Present.
Jim Brown. Benito Diaz.
Present.
Lizette King. Tony Norman.
Present.
Heather Gray. Margie Wilkinson.
I'm here.
Lydia, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, I'm here. This is Janice Lane. You were just calling in.
Hi, Janice. Okay.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have quorum.
Okay, thank you. We've had a request for an excused absence from Carolyn Burton. Are there any objections to an excused absence?
Benita, I have a question.
Go ahead, Benito.
You know, what is the, I don't know how this is supposed to be done, but I would think that folks need to, in order to be excused, you need to give a reason, you know. So do we know the reason?
Point of order. Hold on, Janet. Generally, when people request excuse absences, it's my experience that we grant them. And we don't ask. Sometimes people give a reason, sometimes people don't. But I really don't want to spend a lot of time on this right now. I hope that people will simply agree to give Carolyn an excused absence tonight, and perhaps we could put that item on a future agenda where we could talk about whether we want to establish any rules around the issues of...
Margie, this is Kim.
Okay, well, I heard Janet first. Go ahead, Janet.
I got to catch this phone. I'll be right
back.
Well,
anyway, my point of order was exactly what you said, that there has never been a history of having to show cause or get a doctor's note for an excused absence. I'm sure if you look through the records of the last 10 years, you won't find any kerfuffle over that.
Okay. Kim, what is your point of order?
Well, Heather called me and we got disconnected. There's like some storm in, you know, Atlanta.
Yeah.
I think she was telling me she wasn't going to be able to get on, or maybe it was going to be late. I don't know, so I would like to, on her behalf, sort of say that an excused absence or an excused lateness. I just don't know. We got disconnected.
Yeah, there's a catastrophic ice storm in Atlanta. I have a cousin who lives
there. Adriana?
So, all right. Yes, Adriana. So I'm going to add Heather to the to Carolyn for excused absences. I hope we can vote on this right away. Yes, Adriana?
Yes, I know that we don't want to spend time in this now, but I think that the less that we can do respecting the listeners and the rest of the board members, when we know that we have a problem, at least we can send an email to the whole PMB telling that we are requesting an excuse action.
Okay. Okay. At this point, excuse me, at this point, are there any objections to an excused absence for Heather Gray and Carolyn Burden? Hearing none, so ordered. I'm going to turn...
Point of order, Richard. Point of order, Richard.
Go ahead, Richard. What is your point of order?
This won't take but a minute. I must call a point of order to notice three continuing breaches of the rules and bylaws of the Civica Foundation Radio Media Collective. These breaches are, one, the breach of an illegally non-elected non-chair of the board of directors, two, the breach of improper rehiring of a rightfully dismissed CFO, and three, the breach of improper hiring of Ms. Summer Reese, the executive director of Pacifica. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. I don't know that that's a point of order, but that's fine.
Chair,
okay.
This is Lawrence. I'd like the floor.
Listen, help me with this. The auditors have given their time this evening to talk to us about the audit process, what they do, give all of you an opportunity to ask them questions. I really am requesting that we move to that point now, and if we have, you know, issues that we need to discuss among ourselves, that we do it later. Can we do that?
Madam Chair?
Who is that?
This is Janice. I'd like to make a motion that we move immediately to the issue of the audit so that we have best opportunity to hear from them and plan for the future of the Pacifica National Radio Foundation.
Thank you. Are there any objections? Is there a second to Janice's motion?
Second.
Are there any?
Well, I have a friendly amendment.
Well, Chair, you know, I requested
okay,
the floor.
Lawrence, go ahead.
You didn't give me the floor. I'm going to go ahead and yield in the interest of time. I just wanted to say that I completely disagree with Richard Uzzell
okay.
and his characterization of his point of order.
Thank you. All right.
90 seconds.
Hold on. It's been seconded already. There's a motion on the floor. Can we come to a vote on the motion? Benita, you have an amendment. What is your amendment?
That we take the issue up as soon as possible.
Okay. Well,
I believe that's what I stated.
No.
Oh, maybe I didn't hear it.
Say it again. Say your motion again, Janice.
My motion is that...
Everybody be quiet. Janice is speaking.
Excuse me. My motion is that we begin the review time allotted for the team of auditors immediately and continue until we finish with hearing all of the information to be provided by all of the audit team.
Okay. And Benito, I would just say that you can put that item on the next agenda. We will the next meeting will be a meeting at which we will have to have, you know, input for the agenda. This meeting is, am I right? No, this is a new meeting. This is a continuation meeting. Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Serene.
Thanks. I want to clarify something about Janice's motion, but I mean, I have a point of information about her motion, but I also want to urge you to announce to listeners who may be listening that we'll close at 9:45. To go into closed session with the auditors and then reopen for general business at, what would that be, 10:45, I think we said?
Yeah, I was going to do that. Thank you, Serena.
Okay. So my question about Janice's motion?
Yes.
Okay.
What is your question?
If I understood her correctly, she said that we should move ahead with the audit business and stay until we're done. And we actually had a different agenda, which was to end it. So I... For that reason, I object to the phrasing of our motion. I appreciate the intent.
We have a time to move into closed session so we can discuss any items with the auditors that may have come up during closed session, and then we also have and then we will come back into open session after that. That's schedule was sent to everyone. You don't, Janice. Your motion doesn't intend to do anything to that schedule.
No, it does not.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so are there any objections to Janice's motion? Thank you. All right, so I'm going to turn the meeting over to Raul, who's going to introduce the auditors, and we will go from there. Thank you, Raul.
Jim Brown on the call.
Thank you, Jim. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Raul, go ahead.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I'm calling from all the way from the we have a special speakers or guest to our we welcome the Armanino team, headed by Mr. Paul O'Grady, the head of our audit team, and with him is Ben Stork, our audit manager. Also is the head of Armanino's tax department, Lynn Henley. I believe Pauline Young, who is also a tax manager, will also be joining us. We will be discussing some tax matters regarding Pacifica Foundation filing. There you go.
I would like to request that someone from the audit firm just give us a brief overview of what your responsibilities are and you know, what you do for us, just to sort of give us a picture of
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. This is Ben Storitz. I'm the audit manager over here at Armanino. Paul O'Grady was not able to make it on the call today. I was the audit manager for the 2012 financial statement audit, and I'm also will be the audit manager for the upcoming 2013 financial statement audit. The objective of the audit is the expression of an opinion about whether your financial statements are fairly presented in all material respects in accordance with U.S. generally accepted accounting principles. We conducted that audit in accordance with U.S. generally accepted auditing standards, which include tests of the accounting records and other procedures we deem necessary to enable us to express an opinion on those financial statements that were presented. So what that means is we went ahead and we test some balances to gain comfort that all the balances presented are materially stated, but it did not involve as extensive testing as would be necessary to make sure that every single dollar or every single penny was accounted for. So it's based on the concept of materiality, that there's no errors that would be large enough that it would cause the financial statements to be materially misstated. As part of that testing, we do some procedures such as confirmations of cash balances, investments, as well as testing detailed transactions of the cash receipts from the revenue that is collected from the contributions from the listeners. It also includes some detailed testing of expenses and tying those out to invoices to support the underlying payments that were made. So that's kind of just a general overview of what the audit is and some of the procedures we perform, as well as the intent of it. Now, Lynn is going to follow, and she'll give you a brief summary of the tax process.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Margie, Raul, and other members. On the tax side, our role is twofold. The first is that we work with the foundation to ensure that the foundation fulfills its compliance responsibilities. That would be the exempt organization returns and any other returns that are required by the state or federal government. We try to make that as painless as possible. We also provide education and assistance to the staff and board so that they can fulfill their responsibilities as employees and or fiduciaries. So that's how we help with a look back. The second part of what we do is to provide guidance to the foundation as it contemplates and implements changes to the foundation's activities and or processes. In that way, we help the foundation build and plan for its future. And that's tax in a nutshell.
Okay, thank you. All right. Tell us, well, let me ask if there are board members who have questions. Let me start with my question, which is, what is the current situation with the audit process that you know we're dealing with right now, which I guess is the 2013 audit. Is that right? Am I right about that?
That is correct. This is Ben from Armanino, audit manager.
Go ahead, Ben.
Currently, the accounting team at Pacifica is in the process of finalizing the schedules and finalizing the final balances, and that has been proposed that it will be completed near the end of June, at which time we will come in and look at some of those schedules and determine when would be the best date to come in and start performing the field work. And so I'm going to have a meeting with Raul probably next week and to get a better level set of how close they are on the status of those schedules.
Just for a layperson, could you tell me what that means, what the schedules mean?
Oh, okay. So the underlying accounting numbers that make up, you know, the contribution balances, the cash, the accounts payable balances, there's supporting schedules that summarize it and then add to give the detail behind those summarized numbers. And so we need to make sure that the underlying information that makes up those numbers that are in those schedules are tied out and that they all reconcile to some type of support.
Okay, great.
This is Janice to be on the stack, please.
Sure. Let me take a stack. People who have questions.
Jose Luis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kim.
Benito, okay. With a point of information, I guess.
Well, that's,
I don't know.
That's all we're doing now is questions. It's okay.
Janet K.
Okay, let's start with that.
Did you get Kim, Margie?
Yes.
Thank you.
Can I suggest that we let these five people answer the questions and then those of you from the audit firm respond to them, you know, as a group, because my experience is that when people answer questions one by one, we often don't get through all the questions. So that's my proposal. So I have Janice, Jose Luis, Kim Benito, and Janet Kay.
And Lydia.
Margie.
I didn't hear you, Lydia. What, Benito?
I don't really have a question. I just got a point of information.
No, that's what a point of information is, a question. So if you don't have a question, then...
then it's a point of clarification, maybe.
Okay, you're on the list, and I'll add Lydia to the list. Okay, Janice, go ahead.
Here are my three questions. Could you please provide information as to the application of functional allocations at each station and... inform us that process was part of the audit. Number two, could you also give us a thumbnail sketch of your work with the staff to prepare the narrative sections of Form 990? And then the last question is to please provide a little more in-depth information about the review of compliance for restricted funds, including CPB. Thank you.
Okay. Jose Luis.
This is Ben from Armanino.
Oh, go ahead, Ben.
You want to answer? It's very hard. I think, you know, the last caller had a lot of questions.
You want to answer
and
them?
I think it would be better if we answer them one by one because I might end up losing them. if we're trying to do five people, if that would be okay with everyone.
No worries. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's fine. Again, Benito with a point of information.
Okay, Benito.
Please, yeah.
What is it?
I would request that everybody speak English because I have not understood anything that anyone has said in all of this up to now, neither the members of the board nor the auditors. So I don't know anything about financials, and I'm sure that some of the audience also has a similar situation, and so I'm not following this.
Madam Chair, this is Janice.
Go ahead, Janice.
I would be very happy outside of the meeting to provide an update to Benito. I can't imagine what else could be stated at this time that's going to be more similar to quote-unquote regular English. And I think that if you give it a chance, Benito, and listen to the response from the auditors, you actually may discover that you do know what's being discussed.
Okay, so let's do our best. To
well, all I'm saying is that I have not understood what has been going on so far.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So I'm going back to Ben Stortz. Go ahead, Ben.
So the first question I had is incomplete. It broke up a little bit on my end. And so the information I heard was provide information for the statement of functional expenses. Could you repeat your question?
My question specifically is asking you to provide us with an overview or assurance that functional allocations for each of the station's expenses have been reviewed and are part of the audit process.
The statement of functional expenses will be prepared and audited as part of the 2013 audit. I was going to say the 2013 audit has not been performed, so we would not have anything at this time to provide.
Okay.
And was it not provided for 2012?
There's a supplemental schedule on page 16 of the audit report that has the statement of functional expenses on it.
Thank you. I'll refer to that now.
And on page 19, there's a statement of functional expenses by division, which correlates to your stations.
Thank you.
Okay. Jose Luis.
Yep. So, two questions.
So, what about the other two questions?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Janice did have two other questions. Ben,
Janice, this is Lynn. You asked about the narrative on the 990.
We ask the
finance staff at the foundation to provide the narrative for the return.
Thank you.
Okay.
And this is Ben. Your third question I got was an in-depth review of the compliance of the CPB restricted funds that were received.
My question is, have you and will you continue to provide an in-depth review of compliance for all restricted funds?
We do a risk-based audit, which means that we take materiality and risk into the concept of performing the audit, so I cannot say that 100% of the restricted accounts would be analyzed as part of the audit.
Thank you.
Okay. Jose Luis.
Okay. First question is I would like to know if we're being charged by the hour or a flat rate for this evening with the auditors and with the audit committee chairperson as well in the future if it's an hourly rate or a flat rate and what that is. Second question is the end of June target for the national office to have schedules and balances. When was that target last communicated to the auditors that it would, that the national office would have schedules by this?
This is Ben from Armanino.
Go ahead.
The audit fee does take in consideration the meetings and is built into the fee structure at a fixed rate. If during the meeting it goes over a certain amount of time that is considered excessive due to external discussions, then it would be brought to management's attention to determine if additional fees should be recorded as a result of the inefficiencies during the meetings. The last, the second question was when were we identified the change in time to June? My recollection is I believe that happened in April, but I can check my email and get back to you.
Okay. The next person is Kim.
I think Jana Coburn was in front of me, but I'll go.
No.
All right. I saw some discrepancies in, like, sort of the $1 million range between the audit and the 990 for last year, and one had a net assets of negative $979,000, and the other one was a positive of $684,000. That's confusing. And my understanding is that August 15th is a hard deadline for this year's 990. If we don't have the audit ready, what are we going to do? Okay, that's it.
Go ahead, Ben.
I'll address the second question first. The audit is not required to be able to file the 990, so it doesn't have to be done at that time. But what would need to happen is management would need to have numbers that are not materially different from what the audited numbers should be.
Okay.
But how is that determined if we don't have an audit?
It would be determined that management should be comfortable with the numbers, that they should not be any material changes, even prior to providing those numbers to the auditors.
Okay.
And as to the discrepancies between the audit and the 990 for last
right.
year?
Right.
Marty.
Yes.
I don't have the financials up. We can come back to that. I have the tax returns, but I don't have the financials up. So I can bring those up, and we can come back to that question.
Okay. Thank you, Lynn. Okay. All right. Benito, I had you on the list.
No, I don't really have a question.
Okay. All right. Good. Janet Coburn.
Yeah, hi.
I want to understand.
I get it.
I don't know if my question is appropriate for open session, but I'll ask the question and then whatever. Yeah. So there were some issues reported in the 2012 audit. For example, there were a lack of controls in place in certain areas. And so I'm wondering whether you can talk about the status of those issues and how they may or may not impact the 2013 audit.
This is Ben from Armanino.
Go ahead.
From the audit side, we would take all those recommendations and deficiency we noted in the prior year and build that into our current year audit procedures, and we would follow up with management to see what steps have been changed to address those errors and those material weaknesses. And, you know, as the audit has not occurred yet, we don't have any information at this time on the status of those deficiencies.
Thank you. The next person on the list is Lydia.
Yes, there was some discussion on, we have a lot of open listservs, email listservs, and some question about the 990, the placement in the 990 of the CPB income not being placed on the government income line. So if you can address that.
This is Ben from Armenino. The funds that are received by CPB, CPB is a private, not-for-profit organization and not a governmental agency. Therefore, the funds would not be considered governmental.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so now, let me. Are there others?
Margie?
Yes.
This is Lynn. I got the financials for prior year. Yeah, so net assets, total net assets per the financial statement were $495,000, and net assets per the 990, $684,000. So it's about a $200,000 difference. And in the prior year, the 990 had to be completed before the audit was absolutely final. So there were some adjustments after the 990 was filed.
Well, Lynn, on the revenue, the audit showed $13,218,000, and the 990 was $12,594,000, and expenses for the audit were $14,258,000, and the 990 was $13,615,000. I mean, there may have been, I mean, isn't that sort of problematic to file these two returns having different numbers?
No, the 990 is oftentimes different than the financial statements, and the best place to find the reconciliation between the two is on the Schedule D, like dog. And it, so the number, if you look there, there are some differences, but they're much, much closer because, you know, unrealized gain is not a, it's not a tax. It, like, it doesn't exist for tax. It's just like if you have an investment and it goes up in value but you don't sell it, it's not income to you in that year. It's not income to you sell it. So it's the same with the foundation. So that's the difference between, you know, financial revenue and revenue on the financial statement revenue and revenue on the tax return. And also there's some reporting differences. So there's oftentimes different numbers, but the best place for you to get comfort with those numbers is on page 4 of the Schedule D, again, like dog.
Thank you. All right. More questions. Hello? We're out of questions?
This is Janet. This is a general question, not for for the – I guess it is for the auditors. I'm not familiar with the process, but just to ensure that we are all on the same page, during the – audit process, the auditors are working directly with an audit committee and staff. Is that correct?
This is Ben from Armenino.
Go ahead.
We work with the audit committee to get their input and about the organization and also about any additional areas that we should that they feel are of risk and that they would like us to look at. But primarily during the audit itself, it's working with the accounting staff and management, since those are the ones, those are the individuals that, you know, have access to the accounting records.
Okay, thank you.
Can I just ask you, Ben, just quickly, what sort of level of testing will you be doing at station level?
I'm sorry, could you identify who's talking?
That was Bernard.
I'm the only one with a New Zealand accent.
I wanted to be insured of that, since not everybody on the call is aware that that's your accent.
Okay.
Brianna?
Okay, hold on a second. Ben, did you get Bernard's question?
Yeah, this is Ben from Armenino. So without going into too much detail, we do a sampling methodology, and so we look at the consolidated financials of all the stations and then samples based off of the stations. So all the stations would have some records that are being pulled that make up the total balances.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Adriana?
The other thing, too, I should probably state is that we, as part of the audit, we're required to gain an understanding of the entity and understand the internal controls. And since the accounting is decentralized, we actually gain an understanding of the accounting at all the different stations.
Does that mean you travel to the stations, or you send people there?
It's not always required that we travel to all the stations. Sometimes we are able to gain an understanding through conversations over the phone with the individuals there and then requesting supporting documentation to support some of the assertions that they make.
Okay, thank you. Adriana, you had a question?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Was similar to the one that just Mr. Duncan made. I want to be clear on that. Anybody from your other company go physically to the station and check and really do the audit in person or some samples to be sure that the internal controls are really working, that the appropriate controls are there, that the safeguarding is there? How that works? I don't understand if you just work with numbers that you receive in the national office or we have any kind of physical audit in the station. Thank you. And I have some questions, specifically ones that will be in the executive session.
Okay, thank you.
Jim Fustek.
Okay. So go ahead, Ben.
So in the prior year, we went to two stations. Well, technically three. We went to, I'll lump the three together. We went to the Berkeley station, the national office, which is, you know, pretty much the same thing. They're in the same building. Then we also traveled to New York and did some internal control discussions. And I would lump New York in with the Washington, D.C. station as well, since the records were about the same.
Point of information?
So, yes.
Am I to understand that you as a team of four people have already been everywhere in the network examining the books at each of the stations? Is that what you're trying to tell us has already occurred?
No.
Yes?
No, that is incorrect. I was discussing what we did previously. As we discussed, no auditing has been performed in the current year. I was just giving an example of what we did in the prior year audit.
And one more question. Why is it advantageous to go directly to the local stations to read their books rather than to have some composite idea of what's going on at all the stations? I mean, can you describe the advantage of local versus national?
Janet, I need to point out that you didn't ask to be recognized.
I did. I thought I had been.
I'm sorry.
I definitely thought I had been.
That's
recognized.
Okay.
What happened to Jim? I was on the stack
Jim
before.
Jim was
that.
On the stack before you.
What happened with my answer?
Hold on a second. And Adriana wants to know if she's gotten a full answer. So let's go back a little bit.
This is Kim. I'd like to be on the stack as long as everybody who hasn't spoken has spoken.
Yes, I'll call on you when everybody who hasn't spoken. All right. So now, Adriana, did you get a complete answer to your questions?
No, I think that they were giving us examples, and I heard about Berkeley, National Office, New York, and Washington. But I didn't hear if anybody went to KPFC or to L.A.
No.
Some physical work in every station. That is my concern. That is my question.
Okay. Did you understand, Ben?
Yes.
She wants.
So,
okay, go ahead.
So again,
no, could you explain?
Hold on.
We perform a risk-based audit, and as part of the audit, we determine if and which stations that we should go and perform physical inspections at the facilities. The ones that we looked at last year were Berkeley, the National Office, and the New York and the Washington, D.C. I grouped those together. In the current year, we'll determine which stations, you know, we will need to look at and go over to. It's not necessary that we obtain all the records directly from the station themselves. We rely on management to obtain the records we need to be able to opine that the financial statements are not materially misstated.
Okay. So tell, just say what you mean by when you say the records that you need are not materially in the station, is that what you said?
Materially, so that the records are not the financial statements are not materially misstated.
Misstated. Oh, okay, okay. All right. Okay, so Jim, you're next.
Yes. You stated earlier that you were that you would. I didn't clearly understand. It says something about decentralization, and I didn't understand what that was about. And also, that was the best of main question.
I refer to the accounting structure as decentralized, meaning that each station has their own accounting and pay their own expenses or have access to their own GL versus a centralized station. Centralized accounting in which everything would be run from the national office.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jim. You want to clarify?
So each station has full control over their budgets?
That's the question for management.
Okay.
Can I answer that?
Okay. Is there someone else who hasn't asked a question yet who has a question? Okay, Kim, you may ask your second question, Kim.
Okay. Let's see. On the 990, on page 9, number 2, it says Central Services. $326,396. I don't understand what that is. I know KPFK has provided more than that, and this does appear to be under statement of revenue. But I don't understand what this $326,000 number is, or the line number 6, gross rents for $1,750. Or the fundraising events, which appears to be zero. Net income from fundraising events, zero. Okay, those three things on page 9, I do not understand.
What? Someone needs to mute their phone. We can hear your conversation. Lynn, do you want to deal with that question?
Sure, sure. Let's start with the special events question, the fundraising question. Mm-hmm. So sounds like you have the 990 there.
Yeah.
If you go to Schedule G, like George,
right.
Page 2 of the Schedule G will give you the detail of that fundraising event. And what the 990 asks the preparer to do, the taxpayer, although you're exempt, is how the IRS thinks of you.
Right.
So you have the gross receipts from the event, right, just every dollar that came in.
Right.
And then from that gross receipts, you divide it into two parts, the first part being the charitable portion of what everybody pays. So let's say you have, you know, you have an event and it costs people $100 to go. And for that $100, they get a spaghetti dinner and there's some, the high school band performs. So somebody kind of looks at that and goes, well, you know, the fair market value of that, it's really good spaghetti. It's $40. But the ticket's $100. So
when you make that analysis, you say, well, if I paid 100 and I only got value of 40, that means really 60 of that is a charitable contribution.
Mm-hmm.
So you take that gross receipts number and you break out the amount that's really the charitable contribution, and that gets reported up above on line one. The rest of
on line one on page two of G or on nine?
Okay, line one up page nine of the revenue.
Okay.
Because you want to, it's just a way to have the dollars reflect their true nature.
So you're saying the $84,000 is what's left, is the dinner and the band, or 84.
The 84 is the other part. That's the charity part.
That's what's left over from the. Well, you have expenses here of 340, and on page two, gross receipts 424. Okay. Well. Okay.
Right, and then the 84, the missing 84, is up on the top of the page.
You mean on line eight? No, on line two, on page not two.
No, it's line 1C on page 9 is where that $84,000 is.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so what they do, they make you break it up into two pieces. Instead of putting it all down there, and so you could look at the fundraising event kind of more to know if you actually made money from the fundraising event. It's a funky presentation, and they make you put the charitable dollars up top.
So just again, the $84,000 is our money or the cost taken out, or our net is $84,000.
The $84,000 is the charitable contribution. The $340,000 on line A and line B.
Right.
And those just happen to be the same. They aren't necessarily the same. What that line 8A and 8B are telling you that someone decided that the fair market value of what the attendees received was $340,000. And coincidentally, it also cost the organization $340,000 to put on the event. The charity piece that people gave is reported up top on line 1C.
Whoa. This is so much. Okay. I think we need to move on now.
Janice, to the stack.
Janice, let me just see if there's anyone else who hasn't asked a question who would like to ask a question at this point. Okay, Janice, go ahead.
Thank you. Briefly, and I'm sorry if I've missed this in the attachment, are we also planning to go through the management letter to the board, if not on this call, during the closed session? My question should likely be, is there a management letter that has been processed for the 2012 audit, and if so, when will we receive it and discuss it?
This is Ben from Armanino. That was discussed in the last board meeting that we were on. I believe that was back in November.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't present. Okay.
Thank you.
Margie, this is Kim. Lynn didn't answer my question about line two on central services of $326,000.
She did. Okay. Lynn, do you understand
sure,
the question?
Sure. That number actually comes off the trial balance. On the trial balance, there's a number of central services, or there were for that year, a number of central services entries coming in and going out and coming in and going out. And as I recall, that was the net under that category.
What do you mean the net? I know KPFK has over $500,000 worth of central services to, central services. And AAE, I think, paid their central services, a hefty chunk. I don't know where the 326 comes from.
It's like I said, it's a net figure, meaning that under that category, there are both debits and credits, which are, pluses and minuses. And the net result, when you take all the pluses and take all the minuses and you put them all together, that was the net that came out of that category.
What are pluses and minuses? This is a transfer.
Okay.
You know, maybe,
Ken,
you know, we
chair?
Don't.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lynn.
It's the way this, if you look at your own trial balance, you will see that there are debits and there are credits with the description central services. So it might, you know, that might be something to ask about the way the books are kept.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Is there anyone else who hasn't had an opportunity to ask a question who'd like to ask a question now?
Benito.
Go ahead, Benito.
I guess your name is Lynn. Could you repeat and explain that last comment you just made?
So if I have, let's see, good example, let me see. Let's say I have something called party, for example. All right. And let's say that because of the party, I have money coming in because people pay to attend the party. And I also have money going out because I have expenses for the party. So in my books, I'll have pluses for the party of the revenue coming in, and I'll have minuses because I have to pay expenses. And when I net all those pluses and minuses, there's either going to be a negative party number or a positive party number.
Okay.
Unless my revenue is exactly the same as my expenses. So that is what happened when we aggregate, you know, you put together all the positive numbers, the money coming in, and the negative numbers, the money going out, you ended up with a positive figure.
But there seemed to be a question, and you were saying if there's a question about it, you need to take it up with management. If I understood.
Yeah, so we as auditors and tax people, you know, especially a tax person, once the audit is completed, I take the audit and I take the general ledger and the trial balance and every other piece of information, and I prepare the return on that basis. But I am not at the stations when the activity happens during the year making each entry.
Oh, okay. I hear what you're saying.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Brian here?
Go ahead, Brian.
Same topic. I think the source of confusion is central services are entirely internal transactions. There are stations paying money to the national office. So it seems like the credits and debits should always zero out. It's kind of mystifying that there would be a net on that line.
Yeah, that's a true statement.
You're mystified, too.
I'm not sure I'm allowed to use mystified, but
Janice for the stack.
Okay. All right.
Point of information.
Hold on a second. Just a second. I'm going to ask if there's anyone else who hasn't had a chance to ask a question to ask. If there's anyone who hasn't spoken.
Serene.
Go ahead, Serene.
Okay. So I'm wondering if, and it doesn't have to be instant, but if there's a website that is particularly useful. I remember a previous audit committee chair had sent one to the PNB that was particularly useful to explain to people who are not financial people the purpose of an audit and, you know, just a general outline of what it's supposed to teach, what the audit is supposed to tell the governors, if you will, about the functioning of the organization, because I know that we've gotten some pretty awful comments from auditors over the, you know, certainly going back over the past 8 years or so. So I'm wondering if there's a place that people, that we as board members and listeners can educate ourselves more about what the meaning of the things in the audit report are.
Point of information, please, Janet.
Hold Janet, point of information is a question, so can you...
That's right, it is. I have a question.
Well, let's ask...
And it comes right after a point of order and importance.
But, Janet, all
I'm just saying...
Let me ask the auditors to respond to Serene's question so we don't lose it, and then I'll call on you.
Thank
all right?
you.
So go ahead, one of you. Got an answer for us?
Oh, Ben, do you have any suggestions on, an accessible and palatable explanation of an audit?
The explanation of an audit?
Auditing for dummies.
Yeah, absolutely. So to allow the financial statement readers to have gain comfort in the knowledge that the information being provided is accurate. Now we tend to not want to use the word accurate because that gives a higher reliance than what an actual audit is, which is making sure that the financial statements are not materially misstated. To use that vernacular, though, it would give it allows the reader to feel that the information provided is more accurate.
But I'm sorry.
I can provide two links to the full board on places where that information is available: the Nonprofit Assistance Fund out of Minnesota, and also the Minnesota Council on Nonprofits have that information, and I will forward it to the full board.
Thank you, Janet. Okay. Janet, what was your question?
Yeah, I was – two things. One was I really wasn't sure what the joke was when – I'm not sure, and I'm also not sure what the woman's name is. Is it Lynn?
Yeah.
Is that Lynn Magno?
No.
Oh, okay, Lynn. Lynn is speaking on behalf of the auditors. And she replied, and she and Brian seemed to find it very amusing, the use of the word mysterious, was it, or mystique? I thought it was mysterious, a mysterious process by which, if I'm right, the results of a fundraising activity, even though we lost money, it shows up as we made money. I just want to be sure that I heard this right. And that even though that's mysterious, it's okay as an auditing technique. I could be really off the wall. I just want to know happening is here.
Hold on.
Actually, we were not discussing the fundraising event. That was in the previous question.
Right.
Yeah, but it links with the mystery, it seemed to me, that it was the results were quite mysterious to everybody.
No.
I want to know what is the source of the mystery, what's so funny about it, and how can we have made a profit on something we had a loss on? How that transformation occurred. Was that mysterious?
I can answer that, Lynn, if you don't want to. This is Janice.
Yeah, feel free.
It was Central Services.
Okay.
Janet, this is what I this is my understanding of what took place in that exchange. Given that the Central Services expenses and revenue should equal out to zero, and the fact that they did not is, in my opinion, a suggestion that there is additional process for managing and reporting on the funds that may need additional attention. I can't speak for what Brian's comment was. However, I did note in that exchange the need for further attention in the audit process for 2013.
Thank you. Okay.
Can I add something?
Thanks for the call.
This is Raul.
Hi, Hank. Go ahead, Raul. Raul, go ahead.
Hello. Okay, I have to dial in and come back. But the central services on the tax returns include a couple of other general ledger accounts, income accounts that were combined. You are accurate that the central services zero out, but there's an income of $326,000 that was reported by PRA, the Archives Division, and you could see that in the audited financial statements on the supplemental information for revenue by division. That kind of pertains to that. You know, that's the net amount of all those combined items between the central services that are internal, and it's zeroed out, and plus the other income of the other divisions, including EIA. This report is a combined figures of all the divisions.
Okay.
May I ask Raul a follow-up question?
Sure. Go ahead, Janice.
Raul, could you help us understand why the that process, why it's reported that way, given that the archives are a separate unit and it results in confusion and understanding the pure in and out of central services? Whose decision was that to combine those items?
Raul, did you hear the question? Uh-oh.
Didn't he say he had to switch phones?
We may have lost him. Yeah. Okay. All right.
And a point of order.
Janice, we'll hang on to that question for
thank you
future reference. Yes, Serene, what's your point of order?
We're out of time.
We have like 3 minutes before we switch to executive session. So I want to ask once again if there is any director on the call who has not had an opportunity to ask a question. Now is your chance.
Lawrence to the stack.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
I just wanted to ask the auditors and the tax expert, what is our estimated time, and do you see the foundation going back into a growing concern,
What was the first part of the question? I got the second part being the going concern, but what was the first?
First part, the timeline?
Timeline.
So the timeline for the audit, I'm going to have a meeting with Raul next week to get an understanding of how the financial statements and the schedules, how close they are from being completed, to make sure that they're ready by the end of June. So that we can actually go out and look at those to make sure they are ready so that we can then determine when we can come out to do the audit. As for the going concern, the way the going concern works is that it looks at a period of 12 months after the year
ends. I'm sorry, this is Paul again. I got disconnected.
So, thank you. Yeah. So for the going concern, the question would be if your financial statement date is going to be September 30th, 2013, does the organization have sufficient resources to make it through to September 30th, 2014? Being that it's June, I'm fairly certain that, you know, you will have those resources and the organization will be in existence. So though we would have a liquidity footnote like we did this year, you know, I don't think it would be necessary to have a going concern paragraph.
Okay. All right, and now it's time for us to leave this call and go on to the executive session call. And I hope everyone has the numbers for that. Do you all have numbers?
This is Kim.
Yes, Kim.
I'm just in case you didn't see, Lizette sent in a request for an absence. She's tried to get into the call and could not. So.
No, I saw that. Thank
That's
you.
That's not what it said.
And this is Janet Kay.
Madam Chair.
It's all right. Kim. It's all right. Don't worry about it.
No, it's an open call, and she's just misstated the woman's email.
Okay.
Due to circumstances beyond my control, I cannot attend. I tried but can't.
Right. Thank you.
That has nothing to do with being unable to get through on the line.
Okay, that's fine.
Janet Kay.
Go ahead, Janet.
Just would it be possible for Raul to answer Janice's question?
Oh.
Just before we move on.
Okay, are you still here, Raul?
Yes, I got back. I got disconnected.
Okay, so Janet,
thank you. I can make it very
question.
Quickly.
Yeah.
Raul, I wanted to ask if you could provide any further clarification on whose decision it was to include the revenue from the archives in the line item with central services, since that seems to distort the activity of the foundation with regard to the expenses and income for central services.
Whose decision was it?
Yes.
Well, it was we consulted with the tax our partner here, and what happened was in the process of combining certain accounts in one same category, central services was probably the one that was used to describe this income of program services. Actually, our program service category that was combined with the PRA revenue. And so since central services by itself is a larger number that kind of offsets to zero, it was put in that central services. It's a consultation with our tax partner where we want to put it.
Okay. Lynn, do you want to say anything about that, or should we just move to the closed session?
I have a clarifying. Go ahead, Lynn.
Go ahead, Lynn.
No, I don't have any comment.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Janice. You have a clarifying question. We're over time now.
So I'll make it really quick. I'll just make a note for the audit committee to please take track of what this discussion. What we just discussed, I'm not in agreement with the decision by the tax expert on this specific item because it does materially distort the reading of the report, and I will certainly look forward to being corrected at some later point.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Move to adjourn. I'll see you all on closed session in just a second. Okay,
Maggie, bye-bye. Do you want Raul and myself on the closed session?
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Hello?
Yep.